What's going on, family? This is Tech Talk Radio. This is your host, Brother Technico. It's July 26th in the rising. I got a lot of things I want to cover. And there's been a whole lot going down. A whole lot going down, family. And I may even need to grab some clips and do some nice things. Also unable to post videos like that right now on my IG. So I think I'm going to be coming here a lot. So expect a lot of random episodes like this. But let's do a brief overview before we get it in, right? This month we've had Nick Cannon banned, you know what I'm saying, from all his stuff, from his Wildin' Out. They cut him from all that for having an interview with Professor Griff. Shout out to brother Divine Prospect with his Harbinger Ministries. If y'all go check that out, you can see the video that they took down regarding the quote unquote anti-Semitic conversation that Nick Cannon and brother Griff. Also shout out to brother Griff. He's been doing this for a very long time. You know what I'm saying? I used to watch that show with him back when him and Zaza Ali used to do it. And listened to, but it was on the YouTube. And major, major shout out. Dude has been consistent, you know what I'm saying, over the decades. It's just somebody who's listened to him. I can attest to that. But once again, shout out to Divine Prospect. He got the video up there for y'all if y'all want to go check that out so you can see what's quote unquote so anti-Semitic about that discussion. You'll find that there's been similar discussions had. For example, you got Dr. Yosef Ben-Yakin, and he had a debate with Rabbi Seltzer. And, you know, he pretty much gives it to him because you see within this debate, see, a lot of people don't know that Dr. Yosef Ben-Yakin is an Ethiopian Jew, Beta Israel, what they call the Falasha, you know. But you'll see that even within that context, see, politics are still the same. You know what I'm saying? Because he's black, it's always black and Jews. You know what I'm saying? They're asking them right now to reconvert, even to this day. And who says they need to reconvert in the first place? Who said that they converted? You see, but a lot of this has to do with the histories of that place and what the peopling of those areas were before it changed. You know what I mean? You cannot look at ancient Egypt at its current populace, the one that dominates, because, you know, a lot of the original people, the indigenous folks, they are still there. But the dominating group, the one that came in 642 circa AD, you know what I'm saying, or CE rather, current era, you have, you know, these people, they weren't from there. They invaded. It was a thing called the jihads. This has a lot to do with Arab Islamic history and whatnot. So there's a reason why certain things are tied into the whole conversation. And I'm not going to get into the details on that right now, but I'm going to talk about something else. We know that the NBA has started back up, and everything that I told y'all was going to happen regarding the NBA, that the message was going to get watered down. People weren't going to start talking about it. It was going to get diminished to a soundbite. And partially what influenced me to get on this today, because I'm sitting here, I'm at my great grandparents' house, and I'm watching NBA TV for the first time, and I can't tell you when. And I'm seeing it, and I just kind of got it on in the background. It kind of playing the same thing over and over. But I peeped this commercial, and this commercial, it's supposed to be speaking about, you see protesters in the background, but this is an LGBT ad. There's some mention about I can't breathe and different things like that, but this is essentially an LGBT ad. I think it was Our Pride. That's something that they say a lot, Our Pride, and everybody knows that Pride is an annual event that members of the other community, LGBT community, hosts, you know, all over. I've even worked at a few of these things. Well, not at it as far as, but I've been like security. I've done, you know what I mean, different things. So I've seen it. You know what I mean? Ain't no hate or ill will towards these people. You know what I'm saying? Disagreements or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I may not share the same preference as you, but I don't discriminate. I generally don't. My issue is, though, is that when we're talking about spreading awareness, we don't need to spread any more awareness about LGBT. And you know what I'm saying? At this juncture, that's not what's plaguing society right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't see members of the LGBT getting executed publicly. You know what I mean? I don't see members of the LGBT get killed and their killers not being brought to justice. You know what I'm saying? At this juncture, I don't see it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see it. I do not see these sorts of things happening. I feel like it's out of place. And that doesn't mean that nothing happens to LGBT people. But at the same time, that's not really speaking to the issue of police brutality. We're simply not seeing it. That's not the issue. You know, whether or not Breonna Taylor or any of these people were members of the LGBT, or you know what I'm saying? We don't know that, but that's not the reason that they were killed. You can have a bunch of members, you know what I'm saying, of the LGBT. You know what I'm saying? Could be any among any of these victims. You know, they're not, that's not, excuse me, the reason why they were killed. My goodness. And you say things like this. I say things like this at the risk of sounding like a bigot, because that is what they try to do. This is exactly what they've done to Nick Cannon. See, when you want to talk about your issues, when you want to talk about things that have happened to you, I'm talking about you as far as us being black people. You know, that's it. That's an issue for society. You know what I'm saying? That's an issue. No. Let's not talk about that. That's how I'm reading in this commercial. This commercial essentially is saying, hey, yeah, well, this has happened about you, but look at us. You know what I mean? It's no different than how minority gets used. You know, I've heard that. I've heard Kumo say that. We talks about black, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about police brutality. Then he says minorities, when he really means to say African-Americans. I believe in one particular interview that he says African-Americans, and then he switches back over to minorities as if the two are the same, but they're not. When we talk about reform education, look, ain't nobody lying to these other groups about their history, about who they are. Everybody starts our history off with slavery. Every single one. I had to walk away from some show my brother was trying to show me the other day. It was about hip hop, but I'm like, I'm already disgusted by it because it's talking about our culture and influence and fashion. And it just starts it off like we had nothing. We just used to take the slave master club. No, our sense of style doesn't come from there. But we've been lied to, perpetually lied to. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. If you're going to talk about blacks and fashion, if you're going to talk about music and hip hop, you got to talk about the Moors. You got to talk about Zir Yab, who we know was black. Every description that you have of this brother is black. And not only is he credited for adding the fifth string to the lute, he was also a trendsetter as far as fashion. This is what the records say. So the fact that we start the way that we do, that's indicative of, and not, if we're going to talk about physical or literal genocide by police brutality, we have to talk about a genocide of culture. We have to talk about a genocide of our information. This is what we are. But I don't see that happening to other people. You don't go to Japan, you know what I'm saying, and they don't know what the fuck happened to them over the last couple of hundreds or thousands of years. There's history of that. They know what their culture was and why it is the way that it is. They can see the roots. We've had that stripped from us. When we talk about education reform, we don't have any of that. When we talk about why you have so many issues, well, I would imagine that it's easy to pick a fight with somebody. And the whole world does this. But it's easy to pick a fight with somebody when you don't respect where they came. If you thought they came from nothing, you feel that they contributed nothing. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And the fact that we keep getting lumped in with other groups that have not shared our experiences is completely disrespectful. It was disrespectful when LGBT was using slavery to push for their rights. Those few decades ago. It was wrong then. Wrong because most people don't understand what that, first of all, they don't even understand historically what that experience is like. That's also watered down. They don't talk about breeding. Where were members of the LGBT bred? Where were they stripped from their families? Where would they have their bellies split open and had gunpowder shoved in it so it could explode? Where were they sliced up and thrown into a swamp full of hungry mosquitoes? Where is that history? And that kind of history is all over transatlantic slavery involving Black people. When you talk about certain things coming out of Central and South America, why certain things, there was a conversation about a slave Bible and why that didn't take. No, the reason why it didn't take, these people had culture before and you're trying to give them some bullshit. That's why it didn't take in Central South America, like the Caribbeans and all that. See, that's where they went to go break and have the breeding camp. See, if you don't know anything about history, if you don't know anything about the currents, the mode of travel between Africa over the Atlantic, you must travel the current. So there was places that explorers, travelers had to hit first. There was a reason why it took Columbus hell along the first time. And then he has to go get a Estevanico. Okay? So there's no, listen. There's major issues, and a lot of that has to do with the assassination. I'm calling it an assassination of our information. They've been killing it. They've been killing major blocks of it. So then it can't be used against them. And now going back to this Nick Cannon thing, this, oh my goodness. Because these are the tactics that they use. They always like to use the Holocaust as their ultimate example. And now they've gotten to a point where they no longer debate people. They no longer want to even mention what is so-called anti-Semitic. They call Farrakhan anti-Semitic. What has he said that's anti-Semitic? I would like to know the statements. I would like to know what he said that was so offensive. And how is it not true? How is it that when a Black man says it, it's anti-Semitic, but when scholars say it, when academia says it, it's scholarship, it's history? No one calls Arthur Koestler anti-Semitic. He's laying down the histories. I don't have to, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to bow down to your mythology. Anybody's mythology. Oh, because something happened to you and you say, and the excuse and the reason this stuff has been happening to them since Abraham and stuff has happened to them since Hitler, that people just been picking on these people, these so-called chosen people, which if anybody analyzes that contextually, that in itself makes you a bigot. How the hell is God everybody's God, but he got chosen people? That's ridiculous. So these people are going around here lying, but they're using, first of all, they have power when, you know, and I'm going to talk about it. When one of the things that they said is so-called anti-Semitic, they're talking about Semitic conspiracies. Well, who controls the major banking companies? When he's listing these names, these are Jewish people. When you're talking about, oh, the Jews run Hollywood. Well, who are the people in control of Hollywood? And what is their allegiance? What is their religion? The ones who control it. But you see, they're at a point where they just murked a damn judge over this pedophile stuff. You understand me? This is real. You talking about, no, this is a mafia. This ain't no different than how the mafia used to run the casinos and different things like that. There's a lot of things that are big business that are run by crooks. Are you kidding me? That's been the history of this country since they came over here, since all these pirates came over here and started getting land and positions and power and all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Some of your first people came over here were criminals that took a deal. That took a deal and said, do you want to be in a dungeon or do you want to go help us start this new world? I'll start this new world for freedom. Thank you. But they don't want to talk about that. Let's get back on this thing. Let's get back on this. So when we talk about these so-called anti-Semitic comments, he brings up what is a Semite. And you can look up who these people are. So it's not just limited to the Hebrews or the Jewish people. They don't want to hear that, though. You don't want to deal with, there's a lot of, there's Afro, quote unquote, now they call it Afro-Semitic. There's a time that they never want to acknowledge anything out of Africa. That's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother thing in itself, family. But at the same time, you know, let's get it in. So let's deal with these Semites. You know what I'm saying? You've had Semites that lasted before the Hebrews. You know what I'm saying? And if we go piggyback off Dr. Ben, see, the one thing I wish we could do, and this is nothing bad. It's not a critique. It's not a criticism. It's just that, you know, because he mentions some good names. He mentions the Ashraquesis and whatnot. Ashraquesi is good. I actually came up on Ashraquesi, a lot of those tapes, the intro to the African roots of the Judeo-Christianic. I should just go look at the VHS. Is they right over here? But anyway, that's kind of how I got my foundation and my start, and that led me into the Dr. Ben, and it got me into reading his works and his books. I believe if we started to look at that a little bit closer, then we may be answering some of these things a little better. You know what I'm saying? Brother Professor Griff said was not wrong. You know what I'm saying? When he says the Jews are black, the original Jews were black. There's no evidence saying that these people were of Caucasian descent. You know what I'm saying? As far as the anthropology goes, you know what I mean? As far as who ruled these areas, when you talk about the first time that you even see or hear Hebrew, you got to go into the 12th to 13th dynasty of Kemet. And their dynasty spread across into the Mediterranean, and I believe at one point even into Russia. This is Senseret II. So who was controlling these places at this time? What did these people look like? We have to ask those questions. You know, what did the ancient Persians look like? We're talking about Elamites. What did they look like? We know what Darius looked like. And we know that Elam and Susa, but Elam, you had to be to rule over the four corners of Sumer. You had to dominate and deal with Elam. And I wouldn't argue to you that Western Asia was completely homogenous. No, I would not argue that. But I would like to talk about the dominating influences. I would like to talk about the Sangiga, who was the dominating class at some point in Sumer before they're defeated by the Martu. I would also like to talk about who was ruling Arabia, or what we call now the Middle East, at this time. I want to talk about the Ethiopian kings, things that we know about. So when you talk about this area, also we can even talk about when Egypt ruled the East, where they talk about the Hyksos, who were mostly Western Asian descent and some Europeans, but it was dominantly Western Asians. It's believed that the Hebrews come in at this time, because this is also the same time that it said that Abraham descends from Mount Sinai. So he has to come into Egypt around this time with these invaders, if we're looking at this historically, right? So they come in here, and even in this book, who are written by white men, very learned, and well, this is written by their scholars, and they cannot say that they had any Aryan or Hararians in this mixture. They cannot say that these are what you would call classically today your Europeans. And that kind of gets into the whole discussion when they're saying you cannot assign a race to ancient peoples. Sure you can. I wouldn't say that they would subscribe themselves to race. You know, I would say that they subscribe themselves as culture, as much as we do today. You know, so if you are a part of the Hebrew faith, you're the Hebrew people. You know, the name of your your language usually follows the people that you have, right? You know what I'm saying? If you're of the Akan, you speak Akan. And the Akan, those are your people. You know what I mean? You only get into these little weird things where the place that you live doesn't represent the language. Like, no one says, I speak California, even though the way that we speak is different, But the bottom line is we're just a part of a state that has been essentially colonized. This whole continent has been colonized by the English. That's why we speak English. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at these Anglo-Saxon folks here, no matter how you want to slice it, you know what I'm saying? They are English. That's where their roots come from. That is their heritage. That's where they look back to. You know what I'm saying? Does it go deeper? Absolutely. But on this level, on this level of it, that's the commonality. You know, they just, as far as being a world power, this is just a group that broke off, but it's not culturally different. You know what I'm saying? And that's the point. That's why they call it Spanish, even though that wasn't the original name of the language. But if you are Spain, you know what I'm saying, and you are a culture by these people, you are, Spain is Catholic, they speak this language, they put it to these countries, so you guys are dominated now, you know what I'm saying, you are a part of us, because you are now, you have now our language, you know what I'm saying, and we have given you our culture, whether you wanted it or not, we have taken yours and replaced it with this, and that's the only way you get those little weird situations like that. You know what I'm saying? But let's go back, because our family, when we talk about this, I go on tangents, right? But when we're looking at what is a Semite, classically, you have to look at, okay, what did these people look like? What were their phenotypes? What did they look like classically? When we look at early Greek scholars, when they go travel to these places and they see the Colchians and the Ethiopians and all these different groups, you know, I forget the other name of the group, but when they see these people, they look at it like extensions of Egypt. They talk about either black skin and woolly hair, or sometimes involving the Colchians, dark skin and long hair, you know, and we have seen this type exist before. You know, this type also exists in Ethiopia and South Africa, a straight haired, you know, but black. It shouldn't be strange, but because of what has happened to us academically, because we've been given prognathism as a classical feature, because we've been given that if you are of light-skinned variety, then you must have been mixed with somebody of white complexion some down the line, as if that type doesn't naturally occur or exist on the motherland or existed before that sort of influence. See, that's where the information gets skewed, and we are all jacked up because of the information. And nobody has gone about, save for our own people, to gone about writing that wrong. You can go back to an essay by Arturo Schoenberg called "The Negro Digs Up His Past," 1911. We talking about we've been doing this work ourselves for a very, very, very long time. Nobody's given this to us. It's only now that you find some authors willing to be honest about this. I mean, and this is not to take away from the Gerald Masseys or the Count Von Lees or the Albert Church Wards, you know, people who were, or even the shit, because I can name a couple. Was the one who did a lot of that work on Mesoamerica, who talks about the Olmecs being Africoid. And I don't think he argues that it was heterogeneously Africoid, or homogeneously, excuse me, Africoid. But certainly when you look at certain things in certain cultures, what is his name? It'll come back to me, family. It's a German guy. Alexander von Wüttner. There you go. There you go. So you not to take away from them, but there was a lot of folks like your M.D.W. Jeffries, your Sir Harry H. Johnstons, your James Baldwins, who maintained this racial point of view. And it seems funny that when we break from this, when we try to reverse and correct the perspective that Western society, you know, Western people, white people have imposed upon us, now, all of a sudden, race becomes invalid. If there's another thing that the family should check out, it is called Deciphering the Meroitic Script. There's something else that goes with it, but it's UNESCO held this conference, which is really like a debate, with arguing about the context in the race of the Egyptians. And this is why we know that they're black and they're African. And that's why in a lot of texts now, you will not see them, deny Egypt being a part of Africa. What they deny is what the people were. They still deny that to this day. But check that out. You know, I'm always going to give you a bunch of information. And oddly, you know, or ironically, you would find that if you do go on to and see that interview that Nick Cannon and Professor Griff has, they reference a lot of books. A lot of books. Now, would I explain certain things maybe a little different? Yeah, but there was nothing that he said that was anti-Semitic. They consistently talked about the fact, you know, how much love they have for a whole bunch of different groups of people, including Jewish people. You know, I am going to check out this conversation Nick Cannon has with this rabbi. And, you know, I have an idea of how it should go or how it will go. Mostly because there's certain things that I can tell that, you know, and this is just something that I study. I study Western Asian culture at this point, you know, so when we talk about the epics of Gilgamesh and different things like that, you know, we have to talk about Babylon. We have to be, because it's such a sensitive topic, we have to be careful at how we bring up certain things. I think those who are not maybe used to being in that, like, arena where everything is that tit for tat, like, you know, brothers can study and know what they know, but it's the way that you present it, the way that you have to present it in this sort of format that, you know, it's in a way you have to play the media game. And everything that you say, it has to be clear and you have to substantiate it. You know, you have to make references, and they did make references, but I'm not sure if certain things were substantiated, and I'm not sure if there is a full on knowledge of that, of how that actually works. You know, I believe, you know, maybe a Daniel Reynolds at this point would probably be one of the best candidates. Charles Finch, if he were willing to do that at his age, to have a conversation like that. Definitely Daniel Reynolds. I've seeing one of her interviews that she did recently, she seems like she is still very much capable. I'm not saying that Finch isn't, but you're talking about a woman who has done extensive study on, you know, these people and where they are even today. You know, like, a lot of people may not know, but the original Jews are still alive and they know where they're at. You can trace these actual bloodlines. But when you look at Judaism as a whole, when you look at Judaism as a faith, you have people who converted. That is the history. You're going to tell me that everybody who's a Muslim now is related to the prophet? No, there's a lot of history of conversion. That is the jihad. So there's also a level of conversion that goes on within Judaism. When we see Jews, we don't see the Indian Jews, the Eastern Asian Jews, who they will call the Oriental Jews. We don't see the African Jews. There's a whole bunch of Jews that the other ethnic groups of the Jews far vastly outnumber those of the European stock. Though those are who's dominating the politics in Israel. The minority. Don't tell me that's not white privilege. And you get an experience. No one is taking away the Holocaust. I'm not one of those people. And you have people who openly deny the fact that the Holocaust ever happened. But it doesn't surprise me, because there's people who deny what they've done to us in slavery. They still deny it. Even though if you do enough of the search, and if you search the right records, you'll find exactly what they did to us. You'll find exactly what they kept out. How the hell do we jump from slavery to Jim Crow and not talk about the black codes? Oh, now they're willing to talk about sharecropping, but let's talk about the black codes, laws that literally re-enslave blacks, re-enslave families, and charge them exorbitant amounts of money for even trying to get them free. Could you imagine somebody taking your child away over some BS because you couldn't find a place to put your family. You couldn't find a property to rent because that property was owned by the former slave master, and he was now bitter at the fact that you were now free. So, but they had a damn law that said if you couldn't find a place to live within 9 months, they could re-enslave you and your family for certain different set periods of time. And if you was caught trying to get this child back, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to do an I'm gonna have to show my receipts on this one out, family. But I got them, and this ain't even new. They talk about this somewhat in certain Cornell, like if you read another book, it's a Cornell book called The People of a Nation. There's many editions of this. Okay. But they talk about it somewhat. They talk about what Abraham Lincoln's vice president did after he took over. He was part of the reason because he allowed some of these Southern dudes to take these high positions. But let me finish that about my point about these children. If you try to get the children back after they tried to re-enslave them, they would charge you $500. You know about how much $500 was back then? That was damn near about $15,000. It was about a dollar about then, back then was worth about $30. You know what I'm saying? So you do the math. $500 was hitting you hard. That was a lot of money. A lot of money for some BS. BS that they was in control of. You know what I'm saying? They was in control of all this minstrel media. The shit that they watch. The blackface. That 16 years after you got a Berlin conference, they come out with a song talking about how the black man ain't got no land and no culture. This is 1836. And I got the song. I can show it to you. This ain't for play. This is serious. This is serious. And a lot of people are out there trying to make you feel bad, trying to make me look like the goddamn enemy, trying to make me look like a damn grand wizard. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn about their false perceptions because they ain't acquainted with the history. We know that that shit is faulty. When you got motherfuckers who deny historical events ever taking place, you know there's something wrong with them. We ain't never denied that. I ain't denying them that. But did you know that Africans was also gassed? They may have not felt the need to build chambers, but we were gassed on boats with natural sulfur. This happened in Haiti. Where's the history of the Jews having dogs bred only to eat the meat of your people? Not to eat donkey meat, chicken meat, all this other meat. They only was letting them eat slave meat. And where was they, you know what I'm saying, bred? And we got history of, man, the white man hate us so bad. They went down to Tasmania and killed them all off. And when you hear the stories that that the last Tasmanian woman told, it's heart-wrenching. When you talk about, you know what I'm saying, they chopping off her husband's hands and throwing them in the water while they was on a boat and they raping her. That's the kind of shit that they was doing. You don't learn about that though. I don't why the hell should I have to respect the words of a liar? And let's get into this Farrakhan thing for a second, because they call him anti-Semitic because he's been calling the Jews out for many, many years. They always want to talk about this so-called alliance that we've had. No, they're only talking about history one-sided. They're only talking about certain instances where Jewish people, on the basis of them being Jew and their captors being Anglo-Saxon, they found themselves in certain positions where they were enslaved like we were. But this wasn't the history in totality. They made a lot of money off slaves. The Lloyds of London is still making money off black folks. Ask the people who insures all these NFL leagues and teams for these players. The Lloyds of London. Who used to insure the slaves for England, all these slaves that England was shipping over down there to the so-called New World? The Lloyds of London. Who used to sell slave clothes? So when you get into that bullshit lie, they talking about, oh yeah, slavery blacks used to just take the old clothes of their masters. No, they had people who used to sell clothes, tattered bullshit ass clothes to these slave masters for the slaves. That's a part of history. That's why I don't watch a lot of this so-called bullshit. And if it's so-called hip-hop, it's probably controlled by Viacom, who are also Jews, and I ain't got time for this. It's like, we are falling prey to, we are within the clamps, and we don't even see it. The same people, you're like, we don't understand that the same people who sold insurance on us, sold our clothes, literally, how we used to look, are doing it today. They control the hip hop. They control the fashion. They control the same shit that you wear. They do it today. The same people who made money off your ability, you know, off your ability to make somebody else some money, ensuring that, is the same people. The same people who are going and who went about the process of bounty hunting and awarding folks for runaway slaves. It's these same people. It's the Kohen and Moses. That's why they get mad at Farrakhan. Farrakhan talks about the crimes that the Jews have committed while everybody's looking at them all dewy-eyed as if we have something in common. We may have a few things in common, but at the end of the day, you still got white privilege to fall back on. You know what I'm saying? Better yet, while people may not be, you know, people ain't omitting your history, they blowing your history up. They are agreeing to things based on relationships that we know historically, anthropologically, did not happen. But that's the issue with that. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to do a couple of these or something, because y'all, the biggest issue is that we don't have the information, and even some of our, you know, people who go out there, because there's so much. We talking about hundreds of years of information, y'all. So don't be surprised when we talk about our black scholars, shit, they have to be specialists for a reason, because there's so much. Well, we got to put this information together. Shout out again to Divine Prospect for putting that video up. Now let me go back to this damn commercial, because I've been trying to think of a way to really present this. You know, I kind of already just, you know, went all in the beginning. And people are going to feel how they're going to feel about it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm who I am. So if you know my history, you know what I've done. You know that it's not, it ain't no goddamn malice. But it's out of place. There is no way in hell that right now, if the agreement is amongst the NBA to talk about the social injustice and things that are happening, to talk about LGBT, or even put out a commercial that has BLM, and maybe it's maybe shown 2, maybe 3 times throughout the whole thing, but I've saw 6 to 7 to 8 different LGBT couples. They mention, oh, I can't breathe. They talk about our pride. No, let's talk about Black Lives Matter. Let's talk about social injustice. Let's talk about police brutality. That's not enough. You know what I'm saying? That ain't a plus for us. That's not doing anything to change the minds of the people out there, or bring awareness to what's going on. It's not. It's a whole different thing. Y'all taking the opportunity, as is the history, because when it was the Black Power movement, it was the Brown Power movement. You know what I'm saying? Asians around that time started to get, you know what I'm saying? Everybody want to piggyback off what we doing, watering our shit down. And no, I got to sound bad for saying it. No, fuck that. Because we ain't got shit. All you other groups get shit. When the Japanese was in internment camps, y'all motherfuckers got something for it. Don't bullshit me. Our issue is shit keep happening. We don't get shit for it. But you want us to be American. You want us to be a part of your society. We supposed to bow down to this flag. But we are not entitled to anything to the things that the flag talks about. You got immigrants who are more entitled to what the flag represents than the people who helped build it. So no, because LGBT ain't all encompassing black folk. It only talk about a group of black folk and talk about everybody else. So you're finding ways to. All right, family, just continuing back where I left off. I got to start putting my damn do not disturbed on. But no, it's disrespectful and it's out of place. You know what I mean? You think, look, just because you get out there and you shout Black Lives Matter and you show up in the number, like, that is not, that ain't support. You know what I mean? That should only work for y'all, because y'all had other things at work. Y'all raised a lot of money and you had people within your group that can get, you know, that can get shit going within politics. That's just kind of how that shit works. And the view now is that now that y'all got y'all benefits, y'all don't even do shit. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for the black LGBT. And I got the receipts on that too. You know what I'm saying? Because these are discussions that are happening. They don't want to have them. It's like when black issues get brought up within any context, even within the LGBT community. I heard this white male gay dude talk about, you know, you have privilege. You can dance. He actually adduced dancing as a privilege that black people get. When we talking about motherfucking benefits and getting loans and education and all these different things, not getting brutally murdered in the street. You know what I'm saying? That don't change. Okay, let's say if you got a black FTM sister or brother, excuse me, black FTM. You go, you know what I'm saying? He walking out there on the streets, you know what I'm saying? And he gets shot. You know what I mean? He didn't get shot because he got shot because he's a black man. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was a trans man or not. That's the damn issue. It's disrespectful to continue. And then when I heard with this LGBT member, and it's been, man, this shit is all over sponsored. So this motherfucker got some cachet. I might see this, you know what I mean? Defending Kanye and his comments about Harriet Tubman. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, so what gives you the right to give a comment on this shit? Like, are you a bigot? But no, a fucking LGBT motherfucker will say, no, I'm gay, I can't be a racist. That's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck you mean? Like, shit, homosexuality is not a race, motherfucker. What the hell do you mean that you can't be gay and racist? That's bullshit. These are the fucking games that they play. And if I lose motherfucking friends and all this other kind of shit, or people who don't want to fuck with me, hey, it is what it is, because I'm telling the goddamn truth. It is not. Sexual orientation is not race. I can't hide behind this color. Members of the LGBT who are like me can't hide behind their color. You know what I'm saying? For shit, it's more understandable for them to put certain shit in the closet to me, because you already got hella shit out there against you in the first goddamn place. A lot of us may look at that like, why the hell, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, and this is just the honest view. This is a view from the black community. We like, why, you know what I'm saying? Like, to some extent, we like, nah, the motherfucker is telling, that's why you do have a lot of black folks like myself who like, hey, look, you got to be serious. Because you get fucked with enough to want to go out there and wow, wear a dress and do this, that, and the third and get fucked with like that. And then you see people within the community, shit, I stay in the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? I see the white trans get the jobs. Certain Asian trans or whatever. If you look good, you probably get the job. If you look like, okay, yeah. All right, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not passing what they call passing trans, you know what I'm saying? You ain't entitled to no motherfucking benefits. You know what I'm saying? And that's not... It's funny because that's part of the community that... You know what I'm saying? You own, like, man, they got to stop playing me, man. Because it's like, you don't, and first of all, you don't see no black folks, you know what I'm saying, in these certain positions. But if they not passing and they got a job, they're probably white. Probably. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. They ain't entitled to all these, but motherfuckers ain't looking at them no different. Motherfuckers ain't getting no representation like they like. Motherfuckers still got an issue with the fact that black LGBT takes the face of AIDS like they the motherfucking number one people with the shit. And I thought we was only 13% of the damn population. How the fuck we the goddamn face for AIDS? What the fuck? That's like, you know what I'm saying? That's, man, it's all these little incentives. Okay, we'll give you some, but we about to take a whole lot away. They always playing chess with us while we sitting up here playing checkers. You know what I'm saying? But they've gotten the world dumbed down to checkers as well, for the most part. At least as far as the American people, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're white, you have no incentive to go validate or see if any of this shit that was taught to you was true or not. You know what I'm saying? Because it sounds good. It's like, oh, sounds good to me. Yeah. We got incentive. We have to ask questions. You know what I'm saying? I feel bad for the motherfucker who accepts that we just came from slavery or we just came from sticks in the booga booga boogas. I feel bad. That, you know what I mean? But that's what's, I mean, but you can't, like, I can't be mad at that, but that's why sometimes I'd be frustrated with the family. I'd be frustrated with a lot of the things that be that goes on. But I understand why it happens. You know what I'm saying? If somebody doesn't represent something to the fullest extent, I still appreciate it because they're doing it to the fullest extent that they can based on what was given to them, which wasn't shit. You know, yeah, I get frustrated when motherfuckers talk about, you know, they get doped up on some other bullshit and they want to talk about that the slave ships didn't exist. And they don't see that that's still, that's like, they're useful idiots at that point. You know what I'm saying? That's like a Jewish motherfucker going around saying that the Holocaust didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? You might be able to find a few of the motherfuckers, but it sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous. The only difference is because of how we get painted, how our picture gets painted historically and through academia and through the media. That's more to the world. That's more indicative of how we really think. And some anything that's ignorant shit, that's just like, oh yeah. Anything that's like hell of intelligent, it's just like, oh my God, that's so unique. You know what I'm saying? Like, for that Jewish motherfucker who probably out there saying the Holocaust didn't exist, they just look at that as just one dumb motherfucker. But because our pictures get slammed on, our image got slammed on so bad, everything that we say, it gets looked at like this. You know what I'm saying? And I just told a sister earlier today when I seen that fucking commercial, you know, like she was like, how would you say that? I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna come across this thing without sounding or being, you know, putting myself out there to be made to sound like a bigot. The biggest difference is, but it won't happen. And I don't have a platform for them to snatch. They'll probably snatch this shit. You know what I mean? There's been a couple of times I've been just mysteriously logged out of my shit. But, you know what I mean? The biggest difference is that I can defend certain points. Like, I'm waiting for that debate. You know what I mean? I'm working on more of some other shit. But if you want to have a debate about, you know what I'm saying, the origins of certain Jews, different things like that, you know, I'm ready to defend every comment I make. You know what I'm saying? Are you willing? You know what I'm saying? I don't believe that they're willing to do that. They may be, and I'm gonna check out that thing. Like, they may be willing to do that with Nick Cannon, but Nick Cannon, he's not a scholar. He's a good brother. He's doing what he can. You know what I'm saying? And I got a lot of respect for him. I'm not saying that he's not an unread brother, but when you're talking about, there's levels to this shit. You know what I mean? There's levels to it, and I would be willing to take that conversation. And I think there's a few brothers in the community that would love to take that conversation. We spent a lot of time looking at that. A couple of names come to mind: Divine Prospect, Michael Edwards. You know what I'm saying? Captain Tazariak. You know what I'm saying? I'm not always happy with a lot of people that he affiliates with is saying that is a good brother, though. You know, never met him before. You know how I feel about y'all family. Y'all know how I feel about Western Asian shit. But I give credit when credit is due. Those are three brothers, though. Hebrew Israelites. And there's another brother. Shout out Brother Gouda. I meet good brothers. You know what I'm saying? My allegiance is not to any sort of belief system. You know what I'm saying? I don't really get offended, you know, by comments like Hotep. Just because a lot of my foundation do come from Kemet. You know, I do corporate. Like, I'm a Pan-Africanist. So my thing is just anything that come in and out of Africa, that's what I support. If I may have some issues with other things, that doesn't necessarily mean I have an issue with you as a person. You know, I am evolved enough to where I can separate, I can compartmentalize different things. You know what I mean? And I can just set that to the side. So I may not like that, but if you're an overall good brother, you know what I'm saying? You about the education, you know what I'm saying, of your people, and you own some other things, then I'm fine with that. I can dig with that. My biggest issue, and I have issues with people that even support Kemet or support certain histories that I try to support, who sit there and just talk and not about trying to find constructive ways to benefit your community. I feel like we've done enough of that. I felt like I've done too much of that. When you're starting and you're trying to find a voice, you're trying to find a way to be effective, I think, yeah, do your thing. But at some point, especially if you're going to be critical of other people and other groups, be contributing something to your community or be about the business of applying some of that stuff to the benefit of somebody, your family, something. Be about doing, do not just be about behind a keyboard, behind your phone all day long, never getting out there, never dealing with anything, never talking to nobody, never seeing anything. A lot of what I bring to people, yeah, I study, you know what I'm saying? But I do that to have references for the things that I find out when I'm out there, when I'm talking to real people, when I'm finding real stories, when I'm trying to help folks, when I'm, you know what I'm saying, dealing with other people's kids or intervening in this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? People ain't got to really know. You know what I'm saying? Life knows, Yame knows. You know what I mean? Because a lot of things that, you know, a lot of good things that happened to me, you know, it's because of how I progressed through the struggle. You know what I'm saying? So people know what it is. But you got to be out there. But yeah, this is something, you know, and I'm gonna have to come back and do some things. I need to try to set up some clips so you can guys get these references. Like, I'm so super serious about this, y'all family. Like, we got to get on this. Check out that book by Arthur Koestler, The 13th Tribes. This will deal with a lot about what Farrakhan mentions as far as the Khazars. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about Jewish Zionists and you, like, we're talking about, like, if we want to talk about holy wars, we have to look at present day time when you have Abrahamic religion sitting at the top. They dominate everything. If you are Catholic, Jew, or a Muslim, Islamic, you are one of the, you know, you are part of one of the three major forces. You know what I mean? Being a Catholic, the Vatican, who has its own, all that shit. When you're a Catholic, that unifies different European countries and always had. So, okay, so just for a moment, when we're getting into the beginnings of transatlantic slavery, we have to understand that manifest destiny, or not manifest destiny, but things that were like that. You know what I'm saying? As far as code Noir or code Black, or, you know, the different things that codified what whites were going to do to these people in the so-called New World. This is what gave them the authority to enslave folks that they called, that they felt were savages for having a different belief system. They were, and their justification was they were showing them the way, and this is what they were getting through from their Pope through years. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And as the codification of this gets stronger and stronger and stronger, from all the way up to Code Noir or Code Black and beyond, you know what I'm saying? We're even getting for to El Mejorar de la Raza, which is for the better. For the betterment of the race, you know what I'm saying? You see that the conditions, this conditioning, this, what we know as white supremacy, it really has a lot of its roots in terms of its inception here. Of course, you can talk about antecedents to it when you're talking about the Crusades and how they depicted many of the Moors or the Muslims. You can tell which group of Muslims they had the biggest issue with. You know what I'm saying? Because look at the ones that were described in the Crusades, right? Look at the ones that were described in the Song of Roland, for example, these giants from Ethiopia, you know what I'm saying? And look at the Islamic dynasties that fell, the ones that fell, and look at the ones that are still around. You know which ones they had an issue with. Of course, they're going to have an issue with anybody who got some power. I believe that their biggest issue with the Jews, the Anglo-Saxon beef with the Jews, is an ancient one that starts from Tariq's first invasion, where you had many of the Hebrews align themselves with the stronger power, which is what they do. This is what they've done. This is kind of like the history of Semitic peoples. You know what I'm saying? And this is a philosophy that I believe that was carried on into the what we call colorism today, that divide and conquer, those white paper bag contexts, that buffer, if you will, when you start into getting into these quote unquote mulatto classes and whatnot. It's just like, who do you side with? You know what I'm saying? And more often than not, the folks are going to side with those that are in power. That's not to say that they all will. But we have people that are fully African and will side with the dominant power, given an opportunity. Hell, some of them ain't even got an opportunity. They just do it for the hell of it. And I don't understand them. But they exist. What I'm trying to get the family to understand is something about human nature. Things are not black and white. The world is not dichotomous. It is not binary. And that's the way that they want us to view and see the world, right? But that's not the way that we have to view and see the world. I believe that you need to open your eyes. I know we need to open our eyes. Damn that belief. This is not a lie here. There is no doubt. We must get into this information, or they will silence us. When they allow you to believe that, Lee Oswald or whatever is the one who killed Martin Luther King, that ain't the case, and we've known that. We've known that, but that why hasn't that hit them history books? Why hasn't that been talked about on the news? Why have we been allowed to believe that Fidel Castro was a tyrant, but Fidel Castro was the reason that Nelson Mandela was freed from them apartheid prisons? Why aren't we talking about this? Why don't we talk about Cuba having some of the best medical doctors in the world, and that has a lot to do with Fidel? You know, Fidel Castro became the enemy of the United States because Fidel Castro became an enemy of tyranny. We don't talk about how they used to run Guantanamo. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about how the mafia and the mob used to be down in Cuba. Of course they would want to be. Why wouldn't they want to be in a place that allows them to disparage people? When you look closely at U.S.'s allies, they ally themselves to do wrong to people. How the hell you got a damn alliance with Saudi Arabia? Look at what they do to their people. I ain't got time. I mean, I do have time. Let me stop lying. I got time. But this, what they're doing, this is disrespectful. And I'm worried about the level of intelligence, the level of information, the references that we have to defend ourselves, because it seems like we're just submitting to it. It's just like we don't have anything to say. We cannot combat this. Well, find information. Talk about the Deuteron. Do what you must. That's the issue with Brown versus Board. You didn't get a damn Harlem Renaissance because of Brown versus Board. If Brown versus Board was supposed to be what it was, then we should have had another Renaissance. How the hell does the shit slow down? This is criticism that many black folks within the NAACP have had. They had it before and had it after, but because it's been sensationalized, it's been canonized, you can't say nothing about this. Damn that. I sound like a bigot it sounds like you want segregation. I want to be segregated. Yeah, I want segregated from all this bull that's holding my people down. Damn straight I want to be segregated from that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I want to be segregated from a false history. Why would I want to be around a false history? Why would I want to be integrated with that? Why would I want to be integrated with a lie? Why would I want to be integrated with failure? No, I want to be segregated far from that. So don't play no games with me. Don't play no games. But anyway, I gotta jet, y'all. I gotta go link up with granny, my granny. Go see my son, do my thing, do my family thing. Peace, love, and light. There's going to be more to this, y'all. But I'm going to go ahead and publish this first part. I'm going to try to get these receipts together. If not, this is just going to be a continuous thing because we need to discuss this. Now, I'm going to watch that video between the rabbi and Nick Cannon. I want to see the angles of this. And you might get another show later on today, depending on how I feel, y'all. But peace, love, and light. Check out my Instagram, Brother Technico. Camera's a little down, but I'm still posting little notepad stuff up there. Also check out my YouTube, Nisetneta Tech TV. You know what I mean? You can also shoot me an email at nisetneta tech tv@gmail.com. You know what I mean? If you in the Bay Area, you know what I mean, or California in general, get at me. You know what I mean? The road to restoration for African people is up, alive, and it's kicking, and we need assistance. If you want to be a part of that, if you want to be a part of doing work in your community, stuff like community gardening, stuff like reentry programs and different things like that, you know, drop me a line. Let's get this thing going. You know what I'm saying? So peace out.